Heavenly Father, you deserve the glory this morning, and so we begin this year by praising you in this place. We begin, Father, this year by giving you what you deserve. Praise and honor and glory, Father, that you are worthy of our praise. And so we thank you, God, for this life that you've given us. It is a gift, Father, from you. And we receive it, Lord. We ask you for direction. We ask you for wisdom this year, Lord, that our steps would be ordered by you, God, that we would not make decisions in our own minds, but that we would consult you in everything that we do, that we would let you lead us into your perfect plan for our lives. And so we worship you as the God of our lives, the creator of our universe, and we bless your name this morning. We ask for your anointing to rest upon our time together this morning, that you would refresh us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for insight and revelation into your word and into your vision for this house. We glorify you and we praise you for it. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Well, I had what I thought were some pretty exciting plans for this morning. I was pretty excited. I was so excited about it that a few months ago I actually let it slip from stage. I don't know if any of you remember. A few months back, I mentioned that we were going to be starting the year preaching through the book of Revelation, and I've been so excited about it. And I've been planning, and we started designing graphics. And you know what the graphic was going to be for this series? It was going to be the picture of a side mirror of a car. And instead of saying objects in the mirror are closer than they appear, it was going to say objects in here are closer than they appear. I mean, isn't that good? Isn't that clever? Wouldn't that have been a great graphic for a great sermon series? So I was all excited to preach on Revelation. I was going to talk about being an end times church and how we need to be prepared for what's coming, because the end time church must be a faithful church who is able to stand in the midst of persecution, not be lukewarm, but to be on fire for God. Wouldn't that have been a great sermon to preach? Yeah. Well, beginning of December, God said, you know, Tim, I never asked you to preach on Revelation. You know that verse about humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God? I thought, oh, okay. Well, I thought, you know, I was all excited about this, and I thought this would be a good thing to teach on, but he said, I never asked you to preach on Revelation. And so there go my plans for the new year. You know, it's December, and I'm not planned now, which, if you know me, I don't like that. I like being planned ahead. I like being prepared. And so, you know, but I wasn't nervous about it, because I knew if God didn't want me to preach on Revelation, then clearly he'd have something else for me to say, right? He'd have some better direction for us. And so now we're in the middle of December, and I'm preparing for Christmas. We've got our family Christmas service. We've got Christmas Eve happening, and I'm preparing for that. And could you believe it? God interrupts me while I'm trying to prepare for Christmas, and he starts talking to me about the new year, about what I'm going to preach in the new year. And I thought, God, I'm kind of busy here. I mean, I'm working on Christmas. I'm getting ready for these big outreach and services. And he interrupts me. Could you believe it? And he starts giving me vision for 2016. So I set aside Christmas, and I began writing what he instructed me to share for this morning and for this year ahead. And so why am I sharing all of this with you? This is kind of behind-the-scenes stuff that usually happens in my life. I'm sharing this because I thought maybe some of you could learn from my mistake. Don't plan for things that God doesn't tell you to plan for. Don't get ahead of God. Don't get ahead of God in your own planning, which I can do frequently. Don't get ahead of God. Wait for his instruction. Wait to hear what he would have you to do, and then you obey him from there. Now, you might think, well, that sounds great, Pastor Tim, but I don't really hear from God like I hear other people say they hear from God. I don't know what that's like to get instruction from God before doing something. Well, all I can say is this year, that's all about to change. That's all about to change. If you're here this morning and the thought of hearing from God is kind of weird and spooky and iffy to you, then this year you're going to hear from God. I think that there's those of us in the room who are a little bit apprehensive to pray for people for healing because you're just not sure if God's going to heal or not. I think you're going to get a revelation of healing this year. I think that there's those of you in this room who you struggle with the idea that God wants to bless you and promote you and provide for you and give you an abundant life. I think there's those of you who have a problem with that, and you're going to get a revelation that God loves you enough to bless you financially. I'm excited for 2016 because I see a room filled with people who are about to change. I'm quite excited for what's ahead. And if you don't like that, well, hey, that's between you and God. But he's ready to start and initiate some change in our lives. And so I believe if you set yourself in agreement with me, we're going to have a beautiful year ahead, a beautiful year filled with God's leading in our lives. See, here's something I've learned about God. He meets you where you're at. He meets you where you're at. And so if some of the things that I say this morning kind of freak you out a little bit, and you think, well, I'm not really comfortable with that, and I don't know what I believe about that, and I've never heard that before, that's okay. God meets you where you're at. If you are hesitant to pray for somebody, to lay hands on somebody, and to curse the cancer that's in their body, because you're just not sure if God wants to heal them or not. If you're hesitant, that's okay. God is a gentleman. He is not going to grab your hand and force you to lay hands on somebody. If you don't believe that God wants to bless you, guess what? You won't be blessed. So you don't got to be scared about God doing something that you're not comfortable with, because he meets you where you're at. He'll come to you where you are, but he invites you to change. He invites you to change. And so Proverbs 29:18, I'm sure you could have guessed that I would start with this, being that we're calling this Vision Sunday. It says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. Which is the traditional King James Version translation, which I love. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't have vision in your life isn't going to be very lively. I love the ESV translation. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. They get careless when there's no direction from God. We start making foolish decisions. And then I even like it in the New Living Translation. It says this: when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. When you don't hear from God for a prolonged period of time, you get a little bit off track. And you might not see it in the first few days or weeks or months or even years, but you go for prolonged periods of time without getting direction from God, and your life's going to be a mess. I'm not trying to prophesy that over you this morning. That's just the truth. If you don't get some direction from God, you're going to run around wild. You don't know what direction you're heading in. And so vision is immeasurably significant. We need to have vision for where we're going in life. We need to have direction for where we want to be. I want you to think about where you're at in life right now. Whatever comes to mind for you, in terms of your family situation, your work, in terms of your relationship with your neighbors, your church family, think about where you're at in life right now. And then imagine meeting you 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 50 years ago. Does the previous version of you get excited about where you're at? When you meet previous you, are they excited about your life? I think that all of us would have a list of things that we're pretty excited about. I think there'd be some things that we'd be, yeah, you know what? Past Tim would be pretty excited to meet present Tim. I think there's all of us that we would all have a few of those things, and then we'd also have a few things that we'd say that there's some disappointments, there's some things that we regret, or some things that we wish went differently, or that we did differently. But I bet you, and I'd be so bold as to say that those things that you're excited about, that you'd say, yeah, you know what? Past me would be proud of present me. I bet you those things are based on the fact that you had a vision to do something. You had a vision to grow a family. You had a vision to build a certain business. You had a vision to do something with your life. And those things about you that you're proudest of are things that you had a vision for, you had a dream for. There's something that you tried to do, that you moved towards it based on some sort of a dream, a vision, or a passion. Or whatever it is, I believe it's there because of vision. You have to have vision in order to move forward. Last week, I had you write down two things that I believe that God wanted me to speak to you. One was a question and one was a statement. And if you weren't here last week, I want you to get a pen, get a phone, get something and write this down. Two things that I went over last week, and that was a bit of a launching board into this Sunday. The first thing was this. It was a question. What are you believing God for? Anybody dream some new dreams this week? What are you believing God for? In other words, what are you praying about? What are the things that you, at the end of the day, other than continued health and provision and the regular things we pray for, what are you believing God for? What's that thing that you're praying for and you're saying, God, I need you in this area of my life? What is that for you? What are you believing God for? And the second thing was this. Begin to dream again. God spoke it to me when I was driving here last Sunday morning. Begin to dream again. God's giving us permission to dream big dreams and believe Him for that. And I want to read off a handful of verses here for you. You can just listen along. Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. John 14:13-14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John 15:16. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. John 16:24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Over and over again, Jesus is saying, ask me for something. I want to do it for you. Whatever you want, whatever you wish, whatever you desire, whatever's on your heart, ask me. I want to do it for you. And we believe it and we go, amen. But sometimes the problem is we've stopped wanting things. And so we don't ask. We've stopped wanting things and we just said, well, God, just, you know, keep on keeping on. Things are going pretty well, you know. Just give me another, you know, average year. That's what I'm believing for, Pastor Tim. Just another average year in 2016. Just copy and paste 2015. That would be an answered prayer. Some of us are that big of a dreamer, dreamers. That's all that we dream about. Just give me another good one. Without actually expecting anything more. And so we've lost the joy and excitement in life that comes from having a dream and believing God to do the impossible. We haven't stopped believing in a God who could do all things. We believe that God can do anything. We believe that anything is possible for God. But let me ask you something. When was the last time that you asked God to do something impossible? You say, well, of course I believe that God can do anything. Anything. Well, when was the last time you asked Him to do something that you thought was impossible? And if the answer is, or I don't know, it's been too long. It's been too long. We say, God, you can do anything. And He's like, well, then why are you just asking me to, like, deal with, like, this little thing here? Like, I could do anything, and all that you want is this? So God's giving us permission to dream a whole lot bigger than we have been. So this is God's encouragement to us. Begin to dream again. In the beginning of December, we had Brother Joe McCroskey here with us for two services. Joe is the International Director of Jerry Savelle Ministries, which has ministries and offices all around the world. And he hinted at and he alluded to, but he didn't really go into full depth of the prophetic word that Brother Jerry Savelle received from the Lord for 2016. And we've printed it in the bulletin for you this morning, just the first portion of it, but the main thrust of it. And I want to read it through this morning. Says this: extraordinary things are taking place in the heavenlies. And 2016 will be known as the year of the great breaking loose. This is the description. More and more notable miracles will break loose in the earth. More and more signs and wonders. More and more angelic visitations. More and more instant healings. And more deliverances from demonic activity. And more finances will break loose so that my people can do more for the kingdom, saith the Lord. Let me ask you, what needs to be broken loose in your life? I mean, that's a pretty good list. Like, what on that list would you say, that would help me with my dream? Which one of those that you just say, this one thing that I'm believing God for, I could use an instant healing. I could use more finances. An angelic visitation might help. Which one of these things would you say, yeah, that would help me with my dream. That would help me in believing God. A notable miracle. Not like, well, this little story happened here and I'm going to call it a miracle. Like a notable miracle taking place. Isn't that exciting? A notable, not something that people go, psh, I just call that coincidence. A notable miracle taking place. Well, this prophetic word has said that this year is the year to experience them. This year. We all get excited believing about these things in general. And, you know, well, maybe sometime. And, you know, we believe that this still happens today. Well, that's easy to say. But the word is that 2016 will be a year when these things take place. Well, that puts a little bit of a change on it, see? And we don't like that. Sometimes we get uncomfortable when people put time frames and restraints and they give, you know, dates in accordance with prophetic words. Sometimes we get real nervous about that, right? And there are reasons why sometimes we just really shouldn't do that. But I'm not preaching on Revelation, so we're going to leave that there. But when it comes to this is giving us a word for 2016, and the reason that we might not like that is because it puts a demand on our faith to believe for it to happen now. And it's a whole lot easier for us to believe God later. Saying 2016, we're going to experience these things. And so, I mean, anytime that you're reading through a prophetic word, I realize this isn't a Bible verse. I realize that. This is a word that somebody is claiming is from God. So anytime you hear that, you got to test it. You got to check it out to see if this is something that you can actually believe in and put your faith in. So when we read through this together, are these things that we see taking place in the Bible? Do we see notable miracles in the Bible? Absolutely. Yes, we do. Do we see signs and wonders taking place? Angelic visitations, instant healings, deliverances from demonic activity, provision, supernatural provision. Do we see these things happening in the Bible? Absolutely. So we can read this word and we can say, hey, this is a biblically sound word. These are things that we know God does, and these are things that we claim that we believe that God does now. Has God changed? Absolutely not. So these things that took place back in biblical times are available for us today. And so we set our faith in the Word of God, and this prophetic word confirms the truth of the Word of God. We can put our faith in Him. So I've got a question for you. Is there somebody that you know that could use an instant healing? I'll ask it a different way. Is there somebody who doesn't know somebody who could use an instant healing? I didn't think so. But is there anybody in the room who has faith that it could happen right now? Instantaneously. See, that puts a demand on our faith that we just go, ah, I don't know. I hope so. Here's the thing. We've got to quit hiding behind our lack of faith and calling it patience. We say, well, no, I'm just being patient. Well, no, you just don't believe that God will do it right now. we excuse lack of faith for patience sometimes. But sometimes we need patience, and we're not appropriately understanding our faith. So don't mishear me. Don't get the wrong idea. But sometimes we're just hiding behind our lack of faith when we say, well, one day. And God's saying, why not now? Why not now? Don't you think if we experienced some more notable miracles, that 2016 would be a different year for you in your life? Some notable miracles, wouldn't that change something in your life? Maybe in your family? Maybe in your relationships with your neighbors? Maybe in your workplace? Maybe, I don't know, don't you think you'd kind of do something pretty exciting in this church? I think it would breathe fresh life into this church if we would begin to experience more notable miracles. But here's the thing. You got to believe the word before you experience it. You think, well, but Pastor Tim, isn't it a prophetic word? I mean, if it's a prophecy of some sort, isn't it going to happen whether I believe in it or not? That's a good question, right? Well, yeah, prophetic words come true whether you believe it or not, but they don't have to come true for you. I'll give you an example. The Old Testament prophesied about a Messiah, a Savior, who was coming to save the world from their sins. This was the Christmas message that was preached here. To save the world. You're going to call him Jesus? Why? Because he's going to save the world from their sins. Did a Messiah come? Yes. Was the prophecy fulfilled? Yes, Jesus came and he died and he provided provision for salvation for the sins of the entire world. Now, is everybody saved? No. See, prophetic words come true just because God said them. Yes and amen, that will happen. But whether it comes true for you or not depends on whether you believe it. When you believed the prophetic word in fulfillment about Jesus, and received his grace to forgive you, that's when you got saved. That's when the prophetic word became real for you. So if you hear this prophetic word and you go, psh, okay, well, if it happens, then Jerry Savelle's right. Pastor Tim can say that, you know, he spoke a true prophetic word. But if not, then we know that this was a lie. Nay, nay. You got to believe it for you, that this is going to be a 2016 year for you where you experience these things. So this is what I'm beginning to declare over my house. More and more miracles. More and more notable miracles showing up in my life. That's what I'm beginning to believe for. I'm setting my faith for more notable miracles in my house. Are you? Some more instant healings? I mean, wouldn't that just be fantastic? More instant healings. That you could have a track record of no sick days at work. Why? To the glory of God the Father. More and more. I mean, pick any of these things on the list here. And so I'm believing that God's going to be good to me this year. Now, am I saying that because I'm one of his favorites? No. Although I think that I am. And so are you. We're all one of God's favorites. But I believe God's going to be good to me in 2016 because I believe the Word. Because I'm putting my faith in the Word. All that I'm doing is believing that God is good. I'm not saying I've earned it. I'm not saying that I have done something to deserve God's goodness. All that I'm doing is believing that He is good. And He's faithful. And God says, wow, that makes me happy. Because it's impossible to please God without faith. And so you begin believing Him. And then He decides, I'm going to reveal my goodness to you. Why don't you open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9. I think some of us maybe are struggling in believing that our faith has a correlation between receiving these things taking place in our lives. And so we'll read a few accounts here in Matthew's Gospel. Start right in verse 1. We're going to read through a few stories here. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, and you probably know the rest of the story, Jesus healed a paralyzed man because of his faith. friend's faith. It wasn't even the paralyzed guy. We don't know. He might have had some amount of faith to let them pick him up out of his house and carry him off to see this Jesus. But he was along for the ride. It was the friend's faith that Jesus saw. And he said, I'm going to honor and reward that faith with healing. And this man walked home. Instant healing. Skip down to verse 18. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter, imagine this, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her and she'll live. Wow. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. Verse 20, and behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. Jesus is on his way to receive an invitation to lay hands on a dead girl, and he's interrupted by this lady who reaches out to touch just the tip of his clothes. And healing is given to her because of her faith. Because she chose to believe. Now, for us to sit back and say, well, if Jesus is a healer, won't he just heal me? I mean, why do I even have to ask? Why do I even have to believe? Because that's how he works. He responds to faith. So Jesus is interrupted on his way to a healing meeting with a healing interruption. And instantly, the woman was made well. I'm beginning to see this is a real good prophetic word. Instant healings. Instantly, the woman was made well. Verse 23, and when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, go away. Can you imagine to have been in that room and have the Son of God tell you to go away? For the girl is not dead, but sleeping. Now that tells you where Jesus' faith is at. We see someone not breathing, and Jesus says, no, they're just taking a nap. And they laughed at him. In 2016, it might need to happen that you're okay with people laughing at you. Is that okay? Or are we good? Are we good to have some people make fun of us in 2016 and think you're a little bit strange? There are those dreamers. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and he took her by the hand and the girl arose. Let's go down one more story, verse 27. And Jesus passed on from there. Two blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us, Son of David. When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it done to you. And their eyes were opened. Four stories of healing. One common denominator. Faith. Faith. All of these first people, their faith put a demand on the power of God in their lives. These last two blind men, Jesus went out of his way to make sure, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said, yes, we believe. He said, perfect, because it's going to be done to you according to your faith. So what are you believing 2016 is going to be for you? Because I believe that it's going to be exactly what you expect. If you're ready for another average, ordinary year, congratulations, you're going to get one. If you're expecting things to get worse because of changes that have been made in the government or because of decisions that are going on our borders, because of people that are coming into our country, if you're beginning to believe and think poorly about this year, I don't think you're going to have too great of a year. Because Jesus is saying, well, according to your faith, be it unto you. Well, I just can't believe that our new prime minister is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He's going to mess up the economy. Not if you don't let him. He can't touch your economy. Are you kidding me? You're attached to the provider of the universe. Does our God not own the cattle on a thousand hills? And you're worried about the Canadian dollar? Small thinking. Small thinking. So Jesus hears this father say, I got to go back to this because you almost can't swallow it. A father who says, Jesus, my daughter is dead. But come, lay your hands on her and she will be well. Now you might be here this morning and you might think, well, I've never heard of anybody being raised back from the dead. I've never known somebody to have died and come back to life. But here's my question. Do you know anybody who's ever believed and asked God to bring somebody back to life? See, just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean God's not willing to do it. I want to show you a video from Mark Barclay, and you can go ahead and get it ready on the screen there, who's preaching at a minister's conference at Kenneth Copeland Ministries headquarters in Texas. And he shared this testimony to the pastors there. And so I want us to listen.
I'm going to tell you one more story. This summer, one of my little granddaughters drowned in the pool. Just a little squirt. And they were fooling around with a side vent. And she has long hair, and she didn't do it right for the pool, and it sucked her into the side vent. Her daddy was there, and her mom was there, and some other kids and such. And it drew her right against the pool, and she drowned. And so finally, one of the other little kids come running up to her daddy, my son-in-law, and said, Jaden's not moving. We don't think she's fooling around. So, of course, he ran over there. He said, I put both feet against that pool, Dad, and grabbed her hair and could barely get her free from the side of that swimming pool. But he said it was kind of too late. I threw her up on the deck. And me and a friend tried to do whatever CPR we knew. And it just got worse. And finally, the first responders came, you know, and they're working on her. And it's going on 5 minutes. I kept hearing the one emergency person kept saying to my son-in-law, there's no pulse, there's no breath, she's already turned color. She's cold, and other signs that happen to your body when you die. And she's laying on that deck. And I asked the responder later at the hospital. He said, I looked down. We did everything we could do, Reverend, for that little girl. We do this all the time. And I looked down, and you know, we watch our clocks for different things. And I looked down, and I'm looking at 5 minutes plus. And my brain is saying, even if she comes to, but she's not going to now, she'll have brain damage and other things. And then I started to, you know, push the signal that I'm going to have a dead on arrival. And I'm down there, and I lifted my hands off that little girl, and I looked to your daughter to shake my head no. And he said, your son-in-law screamed out a blood-curdling that like I've never heard before. No, Satan, you cannot have my baby. We are tithers. God will rebuke you today. And that paramedic, not a Christian, he said, that I never seen it. He said, that little body jumped about that far right off that deck. Just jumped up, opened her eyes and said, can somebody turn off the pool, please? That was her first word. They took her to the... You can clap once. Go ahead. That's a mighty miracle. That's a mighty miracle. Clap real good. Come on. That's a mighty miracle. Clap real good. That's a mighty miracle. Praise God for it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for it. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. That's
the God we serve. That's the God we preach about.
Just remain standing. I got to quit. Stay up with me. They took her to the hospital, and the doctor's standing there. And when they arrived, and I'm there by now, and they arrived, and the doctor said, you know, they unload the ambulance, and little Jaden comes walking out. And the doctor's looking around. He goes, where's the girl that died, the drowning victim? And the emergency crew's going. And he said, no. I was called in because somebody drowned. He couldn't even say it. He just. So they checked her all out, said, well, there's nothing wrong, but they wanted to take her to the children's trauma thing, you know, the specialist. So they went over there. And they asked Jaden. They said, well, what do you feel? I mean, is there something wrong? Do you hurt? She goes, no, I'm like Jesus. I've been raised from the dead. Children's Church. Children's Church. That's Children's Church. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for it. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. That's the God we serve.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, I've watched this clip so many times. And I only cried the first few times, and I was fine up until I got up here. Oh. So don't tell me we don't need more notable miracles and instant healings and signs and wonders in our lives. Because God loves you, and He loves your family. And you're all praying for something. Can 2016 be the year when God does it for you? When you believe Him? To do it for you. Hallelujah. Well, I can't read when I'm crying, so this is going to be difficult. So I'm preparing for Christmas, and God interrupts me and begins giving me some instruction for who we are as a church. And so this is the first instruction. We are not to come to church. We are come to be the church. You don't, and I know it's a part of our vocabulary. I understand that. You say, we're going to church. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are the church. You, your family, when you pack up and you get in your car, you say, okay, church, we're going to worship. You don't come to church. You come to be the church, which means a few things. We don't come to see a performance. We come to worship. When I began imagining what it would be like for us to be the kind of church who came to be the church. This is the vision that I had, that if nobody was up here with a musical instrument and 10 o'clock came by and 10:01 and 10:02, we would just start worshiping. This is what I pictured. I never got up to preach a message, and yet the word was spoken. I don't know. I don't know what it was. Maybe we all just started opening our Bibles and reading to the person beside us. I pictured no altar calls, but all of a sudden everybody is in gatherings laying their hands on somebody who needs an instant healing or miracle. Listen, don't come to church. Church, come to worship. Come to worship. This isn't a performance. You're not here to be entertained. So don't think that these chairs and this stage means that you're watching TV. You come to be the church, which means when someone's praying on stage, you're not just listening, you're praying. You're praying. Go ahead and pray out loud. Don't pray out loud, whatever you're comfortable with. But when you come to be the church, you come ready to pray for somebody. You come ready to pray for the church. You don't come to be fed. You come to feed. Which means you come and you show up and you go and you find somebody in the foyer or in the auditorium before service or after service that you can feed, that you can be a blessing to. That you can spark up a conversation and you can encourage somebody because you have no idea what they're going through, and yet God says, why don't you go talk to that person over there? You don't come to be fed. Say, well, I need my spiritual meat. No, you be the spiritual meat to somebody else. This is what it means. You don't come to be prayed for. You come to pray. You come here on Sunday and you think, who can I pray for today? You may go up and lay hands on them. You may ask them if you can pray for them during worship or after service. Or you just might sit there and you might look over and you just start praying for the lady in the silver dress. You just go, you pray for somebody when you come here. This is the kind of church that we're going to become in 2016. If you want it. If you want it, if you're ready for it. So here's a list of things that God gave me to believe for. Thriving life groups. Active volunteers. Active volunteers. Full prayer meetings. We're here every Wednesday at 12 o'clock, and I tell you, the first time I went to one of those meetings, I didn't know what I was missing. A group of people pray heaven down to earth. I'm believing God for full prayer meetings Wednesdays at noon. I'm believing God for intentional discipleship. I'm believing God for our baptismal tank to be more full than it is empty. There's going to be more water in that than nothing in 2016. I'm believing God for fully committed members, which means if you call yourself a member of this church, it doesn't mean that you come on Sundays. It means that you're all in. You're all in. Guess what, members? I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Fully committed members. Radical givers. Oh, everybody just stop listening there. I'm talking radical givers, faithful tithers, and people who go above and beyond in their giving. Not where you're unwise with your finances, but where you have more because God has given you more and you decide to steward it by giving it to the church. I'm believing God for radical givers. I'm believing God for families who are committed to the Lord like never before. And here's the culmination of all that. I'm believing God for increased faith to do the impossible. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him who believe. My prayer is that we start believing that and acting upon it in 2016. Filled with faith for what God's going to do. So here's what I need from you. I need you to partner with me in believing these things. You don't sit back and say, well, wait and see what happens. No, you say, yeah, that's where we're going to be. That's the kind of church that we are. And God's going to do the impossible in 2016 in this church and in your life if you'll ask him to. If you'll ask him to. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the plans that you have for us, and it's been said this morning, you plans that you have for us. Oh God, the plans that you have for us. They're to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. Father God, we thank you for the plans that you have for us. And we begin in faith this year to declare that you have good things in store for us. More and more of your goodness being manifest in our lives, God. And we thank you that you are going to work your power to do the impossible in our lives. It doesn't matter what that thing is, you, God, can do it. You can set us free. You can change us. You can change our families. You can provide financially. You can bring healing. You can raise the dead. God, whatever it is, you can turn it around. You can save that sister, that brother. You can do it, God. And so we come before you in faith, saying, we believe you, God. We believe you to do these things this year. And we bless your name for it. Before anything happens, we thank you. Before we see one miracle, we say thank you. Thank you for healing. Thank you for setting free. In Jesus' name, amen.